This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
But good comedians can use that material again.
That's true.
Do you think you can bring that same energy if we were to use it at, like, say, 8:30 or something
it's
like that?
It's amazing how good comedians are at just doing the same material over and over and again.
The same night!
But you know what they're doing, though? They're refining it every single time. And it's a fresh audience. So, like, they know that they're talking to people that haven't heard the jokes before.
That's true.
That's
all
why
we,
they...
All we have is Jonesy,
yeah,
who's not going to laugh. He wasn't even laughing the first time around.
No, he's all distracted by other stuff. Yeah. No, but comedians have to do that same stuff every day. That's why they hate, obviously, when people have cell phone videos. Because all of a sudden that gets out on YouTube and it's some joke that they haven't even refined yet. They roll into Houston, and if half the audience has already seen you do that joke in Topeka, Kansas,
yeah,
then it loses a lot of its effect.
Well, especially if it didn't look that good in Topeka, Kansas,
right,
anyways. Right,
right, yeah.
Like,
so
I'm
going
to pay
like,
$35 to see this schmo
do the same stuff I've seen on YouTube.
Right.
When you gotta, anybody who's never been to a comedy club, if you go to the comedy club, keep your cell phone away. They come after you hard. They see a cell phone, the staff is on you immediately,
yeah,
like just like asking you to put it away.
I have no problem with that.
No, I don't either. Yeah. I have great respect for comedians having the balls to get up there on stage,
yeah,
and tell jokes
me?
To strangers.
No question. So Deontay Foreman, we got a lot of texts from people. Hey, have you guys mentioned Deontay Foreman yet? You mentioned we have not yet on the show. We'll mention it now. He's done for the season in Indianapolis.
Torn biceps.
He had two plays in the preseason. He had a catch for 6 yards and a rush for -1 yards.
Usually I would say if a player like goes to another team and gets injured, rarely will I say, well, wow, the Texans got lucky because he would have gotten injured here. It doesn't work that way.
You don't think those biometric vests they had on were able to detect a possible grenade inside his left bicep?
That's where I will say whether the Texans maybe thought, okay, this guy's injury prone or it's a work ethic issue or whatever it might be, there might be something to the fact that maybe Deontay Foreman is particularly injury prone. Because now this is two tendon tears in a young man, and a biceps tendon tear and an Achilles tendon tear in a running back who's a bigger, more powerful running back. And a lot of times those guys you worry about, there's this thing called the speed score where when you take a guy's weight and the guy's speed, like, the bigger and faster they are, the more likely they're to have these types of injuries. Maybe the Texans they didn't dodge a bullet because they spent a draft pick
sure.
on him.
They didn't totally so dodge
didn't
a bullet, but it was only a flesh wound.
Yeah, it was a flesh wound.
Yeah, they didn't lose any vital organs.
At least they're not paying his salary this year.
Right.
But that would encourage me if they felt like, okay, between this guy's work ethic and his injury history, maybe the sports science guys over there at the Texans are starting to get a feel for when somebody might be injury prone. Because they do. They track everybody. They see how fast you're moving in practice. That's when they dictate that you get rest. And if a guy's not taking care of his body and isn't showing up to his rehab assignments and everything, then you'd have to think, okay, there's going to be a chance this guy gets injured again if he's not taking his rehab
yeah,
seriously.
Yeah, and I would guess that factors into the calculus, right? I don't think you eject on a third-round pick that was viewed. I got to imagine when they drafted him, use a third-round pick on a running back these days, you're viewing that guy eventually as someone who's going to be, at the very least, half of a two-person committee that's running the ball for you, if not your bell cow guy eventually.
You know, a lot of our listeners, and I didn't get offended by this, but I just didn't quite understand it. A lot of our listeners, when Deontay Foreman was released or was put on the waiver wire, said that we were acting like he was the next Gale Sayers or something. We couldn't believe the Texans released him. Maybe other guys on the station were. I don't think that's how we responded. I think it was more just the overall feeling of what the hell's going on in this organization. Where are they headed? What are they doing? What are they doing with their talent? Like, it seems like they're just getting rid of everything related to Brian Gain. Like, what the hell is going on with this organization? As far as Deontay Foreman himself, it was still largely, he's still largely unproven. You know, he'd shown some little brief spells of excitement his rookie year, and ironically, on the very play that he got injured, was the best play he had all year. But I think it was more just of an overall what the hell's going on with the Texans more than it was anything about Deontay Foreman himself.
Yeah, my biggest thing, and I'll be very transparent, when they drafted Deontay Foreman, they drafted him the same draft they drafted Deshaun Watson. I said that weekend that that's going to be their starting backfield in 2018. Yeah, they drafted him in 2017. I thought a year from them being drafted, this would be their starting backfield, quarterback and running back. I thought Deshaun Watson will have taken over. Turns out he took over 30 minutes into 2017. And then I thought that Deontay Foreman would have taken over for Lamar Miller by then. So I was off on that forecast about Foreman. But when they cut Foreman, Seth, my biggest question was, what were you doing this whole offseason at the running back position?
Right, right.
Right. I don't think we were acting like, what did you do cutting this guy because he's a great player? What are you doing cutting this guy because now Caron Higdon and Demaria Crockett are your next two guys up? And they weren't even drafted. With your team for 2 months.
Right. And this was before, like, obviously at the time we didn't know that Duke Johnson was in the works.
That's right.
It was that you don't have a backup quarterback. And it felt a lot like, and this predates Brian Gain, it felt in some ways related to the, hey, here are our starters, and then game one of the regular season, no, turns out we don't like these starters. Like, because then it becomes, what were you doing all training camp?
Yes.
Like, when you bench Tom Savage halfway through the first regular season game, the question becomes, why were you wasting all this time giving Tom Savage starters reps? And they had some cockamamie explanation, like, oh, well, we were actually running a shadow off. No, you were not. You did a few extra plays with Deshaun. You weren't running a Deshaun Watson offense, because the full Deshaun Watson wasn't installed until a couple weeks later. So that's where it was frustrating. Like, it feels like when you know what? And this is a lesson in life in general. When you feel like there's a plan, it's amazing how much easier the hiccups in the road are, or the bumps in the road
yes.
are, when you feel like you're being led by somebody that has a plan. So I think fans and sports radio people get really frustrated when it feels like you don't have a plan. So when they let go of Deontay Foreman, and they hadn't spent any time in the offseason trying to improve or address that position, and they acted like Deontay Foreman was going to be, and he did look good in OTAs. He looked really good. It felt like, all right, what the hell's the plan here? That's why when they signed Duke Johnson, and you find that it had been in the works for a few weeks, I felt better about the Texans after that, even if they overpaid for Duke Johnson a little bit, but just because they had a plan. Like, oh, all right, you actually accounted for this. This wasn't a get rid of Deontay Foreman in week one of the regular season. You nipped it in the bud and took care of it early in camp.
Well, and they didn't bury their heads in the sand on a need on the team,
which
I think is, I don't think that's an unfair accusation, just given the state of the offensive line in the last 2 years, that they might have had their heads somewhat buried in the sand on fixing it. No, we're fine with Kendall Lamb and Breno Giacomini as the two tackles. What are you talking about? They could have sat there the same way they did last year, where they said, we're fine with Alfred Blue as the second running back.
Or, hey,
they didn't do that this time.
Dwayne Brown's going to come back. Of course he's going to come back. They always come back. And
right.
then he doesn't come back until right before the deadline, and you have to trade him away.
That's right.
Now, who knows? Boy, that whole scenario. We can't go back. This is like... This is like when you go, I don't know how you, every now and then, like when I go home with my family, we get on topics like from like 20 years ago when we're sitting around talking, and I just get fed up with it. I'm like, I can't sit here and rehash like some drama from my family from 20 years ago. And yet we all, it's going to turn back into, but yeah, I mean, look, they had Dwayne Brown. All they had to do was retain Dwayne Brown.
Until left tackle gets fixed, you're going to be doing that.
And everything would have been just fine. No, but I feel like even after left tackle gets fixed, like I feel like Titus Howard might end up being like a 10-year All-Pro. There's going to be some small part of me that would be like, but yeah, you spent those years completely unprotected at left tackle when you could have had Dwayne Brown.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.